Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Randy Carlson, by the way, and my heart is really full with a lot of love for parents today who are going through a prodigal experience. You have a son or daughter, maybe in their teens, maybe they're young adults, maybe they're 40, and still that prodigal. They've walked away from the values, walked away from their faith, walked away from their family, walked away from the things that maybe they learned in your home. And I would love to have some of you who would say, hey, that was me, and here's what I learned. Here's what my parents did right or wrong and what I learned through the process. Or maybe you've come out of it and you look now and say, hey, my son or daughter's on their way back, and boy, I want to share with those who are coming up behind me. Prodigal, if you had one or have one in your home and you want to encourage someone behind you, let's talk. This is Intentional Living. I am Randy Carlson, and the phone line is open.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, and Kurt, and I appreciate it. And my heart, as I said a moment ago, my heart is really full for parents of prodigals. You know, sons or daughters who've walked away, and we immediately, your minds are going to the words of Jesus as he would so beautifully articulate a truth in a parable. And it's the parable of the lost son, you know, the good kid and the bad kid. And the son that walked away, took his inheritance, went and, you know, spent it all in... And then eventually came back. There's a lot of teaching, by the way, in those several verses, but there's an overarching truth for parents today, and that is don't give up on your son or daughter too soon. Don't give up. Here's what we know about change. If you're a parent of a prodigal, there's only one of two ways that your son or daughter is going to make a change. In fact, for all of us, there's only one or two ways that we're going to change. Either we intentionally want to change. We get up one day and say, I'm sick of this and I want to change. I choose to change. And that's an intentional act. Or you wake up one day and you have no choice. If you want to survive, you have to change. I mean, those are really the two kind of options that we have. We either wake up and have to or we want to. And one of the hardest prayers a parent of a prodigal has to pray is, God, they're not mine, they're yours, they're in your hands, do what you need to do in their lives. I have to believe that's what the father did there in Luke chapter 15 in the parable of the prodigal son, as we call it. Every day he must have been thinking, praying, hoping, looking out the window, waiting to see what God was going to do. Boy, there's a lot of richness in that teaching, but today I would love to hear from some of you. Maybe you were a prodigal, you just call and say, you know, I was way off track, and here's what my parents did. Right or wrong, here's what I'd pass on to other parents now. Or maybe you are the parent and you want to share what God has been teaching you. We love you guys, and we want the best for you. The Intentional Living Center. Every day, we ache for those who are hurting, with those who are hurting, and we want the very best for you, knowing that ultimately, it's a choice that we're either going to be obedient by living intentionally in our faith, or we don't. Remember what James says, James 1:5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Parenting a prodigal today. 888-888-1717.
I have a son that is 23, and he was very hard to raise, and he wasn't walking with the Lord, and was making just some wrong choices with his life, and I tried everything, and I did baby him too much, but there came a point when I was praying for him, and the Lord spoke to my heart and told me to leave him on the altar and to walk away. And I seen a vision of him laying on the altar, and he looked like he was dead. And the Lord spoke to my heart and told me that he was about to turn my son's world upside down. Well, about 2 weeks after that, his longtime girlfriend broke up with him. His band that he was in broke up. He became very rebellious at home. We ended up having to put him out of the house. He was living in his car. He didn't have a job. And the Lord told me for a while, just don't even tell him what I said. So I didn't tell him. And then one day he showed up at my door, and he was in tears and said that his life was a mess and he couldn't understand what was going on. And then I felt a check in my spirit. The Lord was telling me to go ahead and tell him what he had shown me. And so I did. And he just started weeping. And after that point, his life started to go in the right direction. And he got a job. He ended up meeting another girl, and he got married, and he got a CDL. He's on the road, and he's completely turned his life around. And I'm just so grateful to God that I listened to him and let him go, because it made my son become a man, and he depends on God.
I don't know what you can add. I think she really articulates as a mom that she did what was hard to do, but she did the right thing. And like the prodigal in the story in the book of Luke, it wasn't until verse 17. He started in verse 11 on this journey. He wanted his portion. He wanted to go live his own way. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted nothing to do with his father or his older brother. He wanted to live the way he wanted to live. And in verse 17, after the bottom fell out of this wishful thinking, it says, and when he came to himself. And I think that's part of the message, moms and dads, with your prodigal. When they come to themselves, you know, when they wake up, and sometimes it's painful. I tell people, don't miss the opportunity to learn from every hurt, every loss, every pain. God's teaching us something. We're learning something. And today we're hearing the stories from prodigals who have come back. We're hearing from parents with prodigals that are on their way back and what they've learned to help others. Diana, welcome to the program.
Hello. God bless you.
Thank you. It says here you were the prodigal, huh?
I was the prodigal daughter.
How so? What happened and why?
I basically just left the ways of God and got into drugs and drinking and hanging with the wrong crowd. And I had a praying grandmother. And her and my now first lady, which was her spiritual daughter, would pray every day at noon for me. Huh. I later found that out after I came back to the Lord, but I really can't tell you how it happened. It just happened, you know, and I've been with the Lord now over 25 years.
Good for you. Well, but, like the prodigal, did you just have a moment in time where you kind of came to yourself and said, enough of this, this is ridiculous?
You know, I did. I had a time where I felt God pulling on me, and I heard about my now pastor starting a church, and I knew that he was a man of God because I seen his life when I was a teenager, and I was in his home, and I seen them praying and how he interacted with his wife. So I felt like if I went to their church, I could really get the truth, and I could really hear, you know, the word the way I needed to hear it, and maybe I could grasp something. And I went, and they prayed for me, and I was delivered that Sunday, and I've never turned back. And that was in 1988.
Fantastic. Well, Diana, what do you say to a parent today or a grandparent that has a Diana, you know, right in the middle of it, and who's rebelled, walked away, and rebelling? From your experience, what do you say to that hurting parent or grandparent today?
I say, hold on to your faith and keep praying. No matter what it looks like, no matter how they talk, no matter what you see going on in their life, just be consistent with God, because he's hearing you for them, and you're that intercessor for that soul. So just don't give up no matter what it looks like.
Good counsel. Thank you, Diana, and keep walking with him, okay?
Thank you. You be blessed.
Yeah, we are. And thank you for blessing us today with that story. Does that encourage a parent? You know, one of the things about intentional living, this is the living side of life. This is where the rubber meets the road. We have our Bible, and we have the Scripture, and we have the truth, and some we get in and understand it, some don't, but it's how we live it. It's how we live it, and that is the passion of intentional living. That's why this ministry exists, to help you today to see that God's Word is not silent, and when you apply it, it can radically change your life. Diana just gave you truth, parents. I'll tell you, she just gave you a lot of wisdom. She was there. She was the prodigal. And what she said should resonate in the heart of every parent of a prodigal today.
Hi, my name is Brittany, and I grew up in a pastor's family. I grew up in ministry. I went to Bible college. But after that, I just wanted to experience the world, and I started dating somebody. We moved in together. I was going to marry him. And God really got a hold of my life 3 years after the relationship started. Now, I'm 28 years old. I left my fiance when I was 25 years old, and I am planning on going into full-time ministry next year. So I just wanted to share that with you, hopefully be a blessing to somebody. Thank you. Bye.
28 years old. Hey, there's hope, parents. When they come to themselves, Gwen is on the line in Arizona. Hi, Gwen. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Go right ahead. How do you relate to having a prodigal?
Well, my daughter was raised, in our home. I think we became Christians when she was about six. And so she knew the Word of God. She went to, church camp and that type of thing. When she turned a teenager, she decided that she didn't want to have that relationship with God. And we had told her all along we would never force her to have a relationship with Christ, because I had seen too many people and their stories of my parents made us do this and that, and they really hated God. They resented God for that. And so I took away from that I would never do that to my children. I would always allow them the option to choose whether they wanted to have a relationship with Christ.
Did that include the option of being involved in church or going to church or not being a part of the family worship, that type of thing?
It did not.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was the difference is with her, the way that we explained it as her father and I was, okay, you live in this house and we as a family will go to church.
Right.
Now, whether you choose to actually pray to God or have a relationship while you're at church, that is up to you. But as long as you live in this household, we as a family go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you turn 18, if you choose not to want to live here and not go to church, that's your choice. But if mm-hmm. you live here at the age of 18, you will do the same thing that we do, which is get up, mm-hmm. go to church, and you can sit there and not participate if you choose to, but you will go. And so that was a standard that we kept. And I'll tell you, it was very challenging. There were a lot of Sundays that were arguing and tears. And, there was times that she dressed inappropriately at church and people would come up to us and talk to us about it. And I'd say, you know what? I agree with you. It would be really good if you shared that information with her, because she needs to hear it from somebody other than us. And they did. They shared that information with her very lovingly, but they did. And here we are. She's 21. She, as a result of her lifestyle, she got pregnant. She did move out at the age of 18, lived a wild lifestyle. And we invited her back for family night every Sunday. And she came. She knew that we loved her, but that we would not put up with bad behavior in our home. So there were many nights, at family night, she was arguing with us and we had to ask her to leave. And it was hard. It was really hard. But in the end, she ended up pregnant, she was pregnant. And that is what turned her around. She got pregnant out of wedlock and She is now coming back to the faith that she grew up with. She's studying the Bible. She's interested and wants to do things the way that Christ wants her to live her life. And I guess the biggest thing I could tell parents is hang in there through the tears, through the tough, you know, conversations, and love them, but hold firm to standards of the Bible.
I agree. And Gwen, the journey's still there. As it said, when he came to himself, your daughter's coming to herself. She's realizing that everything that glitters isn't gold.
Right.
Everything that you want to have and you think you should have and be and experience isn't always for your good. And frankly, mom and dad seem a lot smarter by the time you get to be 21 or 25 years old. And so God bless you, Gwen, as you continue this journey. And I think the message came through loud and clear for other parents today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I hope people be praying for you there. Today, parenting a prodigal, what have you learned? You're the prodigal. You're the parent going through the process. You're learning some lessons, sharing with others who are starting the journey. I think the message is pretty clear. You can't be the Holy Spirit. You got to set standards and live by standards that are reasonable in your home and live it out yourself. I think the reality of how you live, your kids pick up on that. You can't live in one way and tell them something else. Kids don't buy that. But being intentional. Be intentional. Be intentional. Sound like a radio program. Sound like a ministry. Be intentional. And that is, in our opinion, the solution. That's the bottom line. If you want to have success in the things that matter most in your life, including parenting, be intentional. Know God's intention and then live it out every day.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
An intentional life in Christ can make all the difference.
After almost 3 years of offering relevant biblical advice on the radio, Dr. Randy Carlson has become a trusted voice in so many homes. Ideas on parenting, marriage, finance, and anything else life has in store. And now, you can access that helpful information in the palm of your hand when you download the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Audio and video clips on all sorts of subjects. Access to the daily radio program. You can even interact with others on the Intentional Living blog. Visit your app store and download it today. From the Intentional Living Center.
Hey, listen, that is a great reminder. You can take Intentional Living with you anywhere you go. And on your mobile device, you can have this app from Intentional Living. It's free. Just go to the app store. Go to Intentional Living, download the app. You have access to all of the resources of the ministry, including the daily broadcast archived as well as live. And you can listen to us. So if you can't listen on the radio or you're in an area where there is no radio to listen to us, it's very easy online to continue to follow Intentional Living. And boy, the world is changing, so you can do that. And we'd love to have you continue to follow us even when you can't hear us. By going to the your app store and download the mobile app from Intentional Living. Also, you can hear the broadcast online through theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. And we'd love to have you join us there as well. You know, the focus passage in Scripture that talks about the prodigal that illustrates for us great wisdom can be read and discovered in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's in the New Testament, third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And it's a parable of the lost son in chapter 15. It begins with verse 11, where the story, if you haven't heard it, is this man has two sons, the older son, the younger son. And this is not uncommon in families either. The good kid, the bad kid, you know? And the young son wanted his inheritance. He wanted to make his own way in life. He wanted to get out and do his own thing. And he did. Now, the end of the story is that he came to himself in verse 17. He came back home willing to just be like a hired hand. And of course, the spiritual picture here of the Father who forgave and embraced him. And we see that kind of love from God for us when we're all prodigals, right? Because this is a spiritual story as well as a practical application for parents today. Because God loves us. And then, of course, you have the older son not too happy about all that. Because, hey, I've been here and been the good kid. And now we're treating the bad kid equally. God's that way, isn't he? He does not have favorites, unlike like we as parents often do. So the message again is, as a parent of a prodigal son or daughter, is to remain very vigilant, very intentional in your love, following through with your children, setting standards. And I agree with what I've heard today. Now, you may have to stop and ask yourself, are you being too rigid with your kids? Are you holding to policies and rules just for the sake of having policies and rules that really aren't that important, just to be right? The issue is not to be right as a parent, it's to be the right parent. But I totally agree, when you're raising children, that you have to have certain standards. There are certain things that are going to be acceptable, non-acceptable. And that I'm not the Holy Spirit, and that my parent is not, I mean, my role as your parent is not to play God in your life. God has given me an opportunity to parent you and love you and care for you, and I ache with you and I hurt for you. And when you hurt, I hurt. And when you make decisions that I know that hurt you, hurt me too. And there's nobody on the planet that will love you more than I do as a parent. But to keep that focus very clear, that you can't be God in their life. And that ultimately it's a decision between them and their creator, between them and God, how they choose to live their lives. Tony's on the line in New Mexico. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. Says here your granddaughter was a prodigal, huh?
Yeah, she's on her way back now. She's not fully back, but she's on a really good course.
How old is she now?
She's 23.
And when did this begin?
Oh, when she was about 17.
Up to that point, how was she up to that point?
She was going to church with my daughter and doing pretty well in school. She was on an athletic team and on her way to a scholarship to college.
Huh. And then all of a sudden, what? What happened?
She got in with a bad group, started with marijuana, went on to harder drugs. We did everything we could to convince her that this was not the best idea, but she kept insisting it was okay and she wasn't doing anything really bad and that it wasn't hurting her.
Yeah, we can deceive ourselves. We know that Satan is a deceiver and he deceives us in our thinking. Where'd the bottom occur? Did she hit the bottom at some point?
Yeah, she did. And I think it was a lot because she hit the bottom, and it was also because she realized that the people that she started college, when she first started going to college, all those people were graduating, and she didn't have anywhere near enough credits to even be halfway. And I think she started questioning the things that she was doing. She also got away from a few of the people that she'd gotten in with.
That's a big thing. Now, what is happening now in her life?
Well, she pretty much doesn't associate with any of those people anymore. She had gotten down to where she was just using marijuana, and she told me she didn't even enjoy it anymore. She started going back to church with my daughter and I, and now she recommitted to her education. She started getting good grades. She is much more open about what she wants, and it's just wonderful to see it. It's just heart gratifying to my heart that she's now really turned the corner.
That's good. You know, Tony, we've heard several stories. The teen years, kids start to hang around with other kids. We influence each other. They make decisions. All of a sudden, they're off course. Then they get into their early 20s and realize that course has taken them nowhere. They're following losers, going down a loser path, going to run into a wall. There's no end there that's going to be satisfactory. We can read about that kind of path in Proverbs. A lot of people in Proverbs illustrate that. And then there's a moment where they come to themselves and say, enough, you know. And make a decision. And God bless those young people who say there's a better path, like the prodigal son or daughter coming back and saying, hey, it's time for the life that God really intends for me. Boy, you know, we've got more calls than we have time, but I think we've illustrated this hour the power of a parent standing firm in prayer, standing firm in confidence, standing firm in their faith, trusting God and taking it one step at a time. The fifth thing that Joseph did was he acted. He was intentional. Not only did he forgive his brothers, not only did he get the big picture, but he actually did something. He said, come and live with me and I'm going to feed your family and take care of your family. There's something about taking action. One of the things that happens in our life when something bad happens, psychologically we feel out of control, don't we? There's a sense of, I don't know what to do and I'm stuck. There's something about taking action. And in Joseph's case, not only did he forgive his brothers intentionally, but then he actually acted and said, and I will take care of you and your family. That is intentional living. That's action. That's actually taking what we say we believe and acting on it every day. Hey, by the way, that's an excerpt from this month's teaching, When Life Doesn't Make Sense. Members, you know, it's our gift to you for your monthly support. We're starting 2019 in just a few days, and it's going to be living on purpose. That's our theme through this next year. I'm excited about 2019. So if you're not a member, come and join this group of people who are on an exciting journey for life. Hey, you know, we're just a few days away from the end of the year, and we have some friends of the ministry that said, let's finish strong. We have a ways to go. We had so many people respond earlier in the month. Thank you for joining in monthly support and for your year-end gifts. You helped get us moving in the right direction, but we still have a big nut to crack between now and the 31st. And your best gift is going to be matched dollar for dollar. Friends of the ministry set up to $100,000. We're going to match it. Your $1,000 becomes two, your $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever the amount, dollar for dollar for intentional living, go to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. It'll be matched. Thank you. Theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717 and press number 4. You can talk to our staff. Boy, thank you in advance. Would you help me and the rest of the team close out strong? So we can be at the end of the year ready for a new one. It's going to be great. TheIntentionalLife.com. Thank you. We'll see you next time right here. Join us at Intentional Living.